The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Computer, here we go. Okay, great. So welcome, hot welcome, everyone, from California to wherever you are in the world right now, joining in this moment in time, whether it's afternoon, evening, late night, or morning, as in the case for Mary Christine in Sydney, Australia. So, welcome to all of you. So, the theme for tonight, for today's practice, I've been promising to start a series and for us to explore together the eight pillars of joy. So there is a teaching about the eight pillars of joy, primarily in Tibetan. And I talked about it last week and the week before that, inspired by the book where I found this in by the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, The Book of Joy. The Book of Joy. And in that Book of Joy, they talk about eight pillars of joy. And I've been promising to go through the eight pillars one by one and for us to explore the pillars. There's so many ways to explore these pillars. So the first one is perspective. The most important aspect of our unhappiness. Our happiness or unhappiness depends on our perspective. It's the most important basis for all the other ones. And there is research also supporting that. I mean, not just in case we wanted research to also support it, there's research that has been done by the researcher, let's see if I can find it in my notes quickly. Yes, Sonia Libramirsky, another difficult last name just like mine, that showed that really what has the greatest influence on our happiness or unhappiness is our perspective towards life and our ability to reframe a situation and our perspective. And of course, on top of that, then there's gratitude, choice to be kind, generous to others. But really, the perspective is the basis, is really the basis. And many times when challenging things happen in our lives, really depending on how we hold it, we can really determine how whether there will be growth, post-traumatic growth through the event or not. If we think of it just as a calamity and there's no good that could ever come out of it, well, there may not be any growth. So this aspect of perspective is it can show up both with challenging events that show up in our lives, depending on our perspective. But also, not just the reframing of an issue, which we can easily do. It's much easier to change our perspective than to change our emotions. We can always sit with something, look at it from this direction, that direction, another direction, as the Dalai Lama likes to say, from the top and the bottom, right and left, etc., so that we can come up with a different perspective. Another way that directly I'm going to invite us to actually work with a shift in perspective is shifting from me, myself, and I, it's just me, to a wider perspective, to a bigger perspective that includes others. In fact, I want to share a couple of quick other pieces of research with you. There's one piece of research suggesting that that people who more frequently said I, me, and mine had a higher risk of having a heart attack, and higher risk that the heart attack was fatal. And in fact, this so-called self-involvement was a better predictor of death in this coronary heart disease study than high cholesterol or smoking or high blood pressure. Isn't that wild? That being more self-involved is a higher predictor of your coronary health than any of these health evils? It boggles my mind. It's very interesting. So this perspective of me, myself, and I, there's also one more study. That last one was by Larry Sherowitz et al. And this one is by Johannes Zimmermann, who found that people who often use first person singular words, I and me, are more likely to be depressed than people who use first person plural, we and us. So this idea of self, selfing, only me, I'm the only one who's suffering. I'm alone in this. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So one practice that we're going to, I mean, there's so many ways to work with perspective as a pillar of joy. One way we're going to make that actionable in our practice today is this beautiful practice of compassion practice, where we imagine we bring in we bring in all the other beings who are suffering in the same way we are. So I will guide us through this practice. Basically, well, you experience it for yourself, but there's a sense of I'm not alone. It really expands. It shifts our perspective from just me. It's just me, myself, and I. I'm the only one feeling of loneliness and aloneness, to a sense of connection, to a sense of interconnection with others, and also caring for their pain and suffering instead of just me, me, me. So it shifts our perspective. It makes us care for a bigger container. It shifts our container from a smaller one to a larger one. So and I've done this practice a lot myself. I'll talk more about it later. But let's get into our guided meditation. Enough talking. Let's do or not do. So I'd like to invite you to land into your meditation posture if you need to. Move, if you need to shift, to lie down, or sit up straighter in your chair, in your seat, with a sense of integrity. Sitting tall. And letting yourself land, letting yourself arrive fully. Landing in your seat, landing in your sit bones, landing in this breathing body. And inviting all muscles to relax, to soften, inviting the breath to be received. In the abdomen. inviting the mind, the body, to relax, to let go of any tension at the next out-breath. And taking the next 5 out-breaths to let go of any tension in the body. Receiving the breath, relaxing the body, receiving and relaxing. Feeling that sense of integrity. Inviting a sense of alignment. Fullness. With each breath filling the body with energy and vitality. and inviting awareness to permeate the entire body. Sense of presence here, right now. Sitting, breathing, aware. In this moment of this life, this body breathing. And now I'd like to invite you to bring to mind something that is a source of challenge for you. Right now, these days, today, in this moment. And feeling into it. Could be a disappointment, sadness, fear. Maybe something in a relationship, or maybe something in your body, some pain or health issue. Or financial. Any contraction in the heart, anything that it's causing stress, difficulty, what in Buddhism we call suffering, but not just the big sufferings, not just the, doesn't have to be something catastrophic, but just something that's causing you challenge, pain, in this definition of suffering. And allowing yourself to open your heart and feel it, make space, not pushing it away, but in a relaxed body. Spacious heart, welcoming this issue to be present just as it is. Allowing yourself to feel the ouch. Not spiritual bypassing, but feeling the ouch of whatever it is. It's okay. Making space for it. It's through challenge and difficulty that our heart breaks into compassion. So, feeling disappointment, challenge, whatever it is. Grief, etc., etc., anger, whatever it might be, injustice. And I'd like to invite you to expand your perspective. Expand your perspective and consider that out of the 7 billion human beings on this planet. There are others. There are others who are suffering in a similar way. In a similar way. Their circumstances might be different, but a similar way. If it's a physical pain, for example, you can imagine all other beings who have a similar health issue. It's okay to use your imagination in this moment, imagining them. Different ages, different nationalities in different countries. Bring to mind a hypothetical being in some country, different age, different nationality and grace from you. But a human being whose heart right now is hurting or suffering in the same way as you are. Same pain, same sorrow, same disappointment, same grief. And now another being. Just like me, just like me. Feeling the shared. Shared disappointment, shared suffering. And another being. Really taking time to feel this being too. Sadness and suffering, disappointment in the same way. As if it were your own. Maybe even as if you're looking at the world through their eyes, different circumstances, life circumstances, but the same challenge, same pain. And another being, if you wish. Allowing your imagination, your powerful imagination, to support you in feeling this other being. Maybe they're older, younger. Same sorrow, same challenge. Same suffering in the same way. You feel their pain, they feel your pain. They get it. You get it. And now bringing to mind, expanding the circle, the perspective, to so many beings, not just this few, but so many beings around the world who are feeling the same way right now, and also have suffered in the same way in the past, and may do in the future, if you wish to bring that perspective in, perspective of space and time. You are not alone. You're part of this larger interconnected web of humanity. May all of us who suffer in this way, who have this challenge, may all of us with this pain, sorrow, disappointment, may all of us have ease. May all of us suffering in the same way, similar way, may all of us be supported, have support, may all of us being all of us being suffering in a similar way, with this challenge, may all of us experience ease, freedom, both in the midst of this challenge with this challenge. Holding all of us, this whole club of humans, beings, challenged in this way, all of us. May we have ease and well-being, goodness as much as possible. May all of us be well. Keeping in mind all the beings just like you, wishing all of you, all of us, ease, freedom from this challenge, freedom with this challenge. Exploring on our own in silence for a few minutes. Repeating the phrases of metta silently, phrases of compassion, karuna. May all of us of ease and freedom in the midst of this challenge. expanding our perspective, our heart, in its care, its compassion and generosity for all the beings suffer like I do, not just me alone, all of us. If you like, please experiment with putting a palm of your hand in the middle of your chest, your heart center, making a connection with yourself, with your good wishes, with your goodwill. See how this embodiment, how this can shift. Experiment. What do you have to lose? Try it out. Both holding your own heart with this challenge and extending your goodwill. And your hand touching your chest could feel as if it's comforting and soothing. Oh, sweetheart, this is hard. This is hard. It's hard for all of us. Not just you, it's hard for all of us. Holding all of us with care, compassion, goodwill. And maybe just try this on for size if it's available. If not, no worries. If your own suffering and pain feels lighter now, feels lighter, safe in this vision, this image, there's a generosity of spirit of you wanting to comfort others, comforting others who are suffering like you. If this doesn't feel available or natural, don't try it. Just stay where you are. And for the last moment of this practice, holding yourself with appreciation for having engaged in this practice in whatever way was available to you. Without any judgment or attachment to outcome. With inspiration, aspiration, not expectation. Thank you all for your practice. So we'll change the settings of the chat and allowing you to unmute yourself. So I'd like to invite reflections. You can either type them in chat or unmute yourself if you wish. And I'll start by sharing one thing that came up for me in this practice, and at the end I shared it with you as an invitation, was my own challenge became so much lighter, and it actually, this practice, it felt like an empowerment that, yes, I know what it feels like to hurt in this way, and I can offer comfort and support and compassion in my mind to other beings who suffer in this way, because it's lighter now and I know what it's like. Oh, it's okay, dear. It's okay, sweetie. It's fine. It's fine. So that kind of a transformation that could happen. So Bill asks, is it best not to consciously analyze what's happening in exercises such as this? Wonder if my own thoughts are interfering with things. Yes, Bill, it's best not to consciously analyze. It's often not very helpful. You're welcome to reflect on it afterwards, but during the practice, it's best to, if an analysis comes up, what's going on, why is this, blah, to just bow to it, thank you, and be in the body, be in the experience. It's a different way of knowing. It's opening up to a different way of being and knowing and experiencing that is not available to the conscious analytical mind. Yeah. Thank you for that question. Does that help support it? Yeah. I see you're nodding. Thumbs up. Yeah. Yeah. Other reflections or questions? Mary Christine.
I found I had to visualize. So I had the globe of the world and my arms wrapped around it, holding it.
Yeah. So you're saying you found it hard to visualize and you had the whole...
No, I had to visualize.
Oh, you had to visualize. Sorry.
And the way that I visualized, I had the globe of the world and my arms were around, wrapping it, embracing it.
And the beings in it, and they all the beings, of course, who are suffering in this way. Lovely. Yeah. Whatever works, and beautiful, and that works great. What tends to work best for me as I guide this is to actually imagine individuals, imagine other beings. And I would invite you, Mary Christine, to explore that also. And see what that might open up.
At the beginning.
Oh, you did. Uh-huh.
At the beginning, I did.
Got it. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
And I just wanted to wrap the world with love.
I see. Now I get it. Okay. Okay. Now I understand it as a progression. That wasn't clear to me. It's all good. Yes, starting there, and then your heart grew in compassion. I'm getting chills. Your heart grew so that you just wanted to wrap your whole arm around this whole world. Oh, sweet. You know, that reminds me of, there's this expression by Ryokan, who's a well-respected Zen monk and master of teacher from, I forget what century, but only if my monk's robes were wide enough to cover the whole world and all the people, all the suffering people in it. So what you, it's just, and that is such a powerful movement. It's just what you're describing. It's beautiful. This movement. Oh, I want to just hold the whole suffering world with me. Oh, lovely. Thank you for sharing that, Mary Christine. Sweet. Megan shares, regarded perspective. I recently came across this quote from Helen Keller that I really loved. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. Oh, I love that. Beautiful. Let me read it again. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Megan. And Kim offers, I also felt lighter and found compassion then. Yeah, nice. Thanks for offering that, Kim. Any other reflections from your practice, questions, complaints? Anything is welcome.
Hi, Nikki. This is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
So, this was pretty empowering for me because I'm the person that's always compassionate for other people and had to really learn self-compassion. Instead of the self-critic or the inner critic. And so this was the first time that I actually, in regards to my pain and suffering, it's usually I'm compassionate for them, but it doesn't have anything to do with my suffering. And so this was a very different perspective for me and very enlightening because I was able to say, okay, this is my suffering. And I've worked with other people that have had the similar things, but I never put myself in the same with them. And so this was the first time that I really did that. And it was very enlightening and did allow me to have such a lighter heart and
nice.
And that it was okay to do that. And that it was okay for me to be the sufferer also with them. Yeah. So it was interesting. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you for sharing that, Kim. You're really speaking to how powerful this sense of common humanity, just like me and just like them. It's not different. It's the just like me, it works both ways. they suffer just like me, and oh, I suffer just like them. It's us. It's very powerful. Yeah. Thank you for
bringing
this in. Yeah. This is such a powerful practice, and I found this practice to be particularly powerful for myself, and it was my go-to compassion practice for a long time. So years ago, I spent about a year being very, very sick and homebound and bedbound. And while I was bedbound and homebound and feeling, gosh, this is so hard, so much pain and being shut in, I started to imagine all the beings in that moment who were in a hospital somewhere and were shut in. Or my imagination, you know, I imagined a woman in a hut in Africa, in a small village, who's also sick, just like me, with pain, can't get out. Like, wow, we're everywhere, a little girl in somewhere, in some other country, not speaking it. Like, oh, all of us right now, we are in this situation together. And then wishing, oh, may all of us be well. May all of us have ease in the midst of this really difficult situation. It was not just, it made it easier for me, but opened my heart to compassion for others. It's not just me. It's foolish to think you're the only one who suffered. Like, it's just foolish, right? So this practice, it just opens up like, yep, it's so not, and you feel it in a visceral way. It's so powerful in so many ways. And another one that you mentioned, Kim, thank you. Kathleen, could you jot down the names of the two researchers you mentioned? Thanks for your sensitive teaching. Oh, you're welcome, Kathleen. The name of the researchers, actually, here, let me find the spelling. The first one is Larry Sherwitz. Larry, easy. Sherwitz, Sherwitz. In fact, I will put it in chat for everyone to see in case you want to look up. And this first one was the coronary heart research. And the second was Johannes Zimmermann. Zimmermann, Johannes, J-O-H-A-N-N-E-S, last name Zimmermann. And that was the depression, the one who people who used me, myself and I. So I put both of those in chat. Sonia Zlibermowski. Oh, yes, that's the other person I mentioned. Thank you. I forgot about that. Let me grab that from my notes. Sonia, where are you? Sonia. Hi. Tell you what, I will find it by the time you guys come back from the group, because time is running out. So let's do that. Let's get into our practice meeting. So just like me, this is the perfect stance to take right now into groups. All of these, the two other beings you're in the group with are suffering just like you. Could look differently, different story, but you're all suffering. So holy, may all of us, so showing up in that way, showing up in that spirit, either with or without words. So and see what magic can happen. So I'm going to create the rooms now, and they're going to be of size of 3 mostly. And I need to do a little bit of housekeeping here. All right. Okay. So I'm going to open the rooms now. Here we go. Welcome back, everyone, from the groups. So we have... Gosh, it's time, because we had so much time earlier. We spend more time with reflections and questions. So it's time. So, I do have the name of the other researcher. It's Sonja, S-O-N-J-A. Lyubomirsky, Lyubomirsky, and I put it in chat for everyone to see. So, yeah, I'm tell you what, we'll formally end, and I will stay a couple of extra minutes if there are any questions or comments, just to allow people who need to leave. So thank you all for your practice, for having joined in this really powerful practice and this shift of perspective. So now we have practiced with the first pillar of joy in this way, and it's really lightens one's heart. So may we all of us, may we all be happy and joyous and well and free, all of us everywhere. Thank you all.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye. So, everyone.
Thanks. And I'll stay a couple of minutes extra just in case. Bye, everyone. Bye, whoever needs to leave. Bye.
Good night, Nikki. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay, so let's see, I'm going to stop the recording also.